He is one of our leaders, a man I respect so much, and we are privileged to have him here today. Could you welcome Dr. Robert Roden as he comes to share God's word?
And how awesome it is to be here at Cornerstone today. I love coming to this place to see what God has done. To think that I'm now going to be a granddad, that's pretty awesome. I have eight natural grandchildren, and now we're going to have a spiritual grandchild. So this is what God calls us to, and maybe someday a great-grandchild, huh? As the churches that you plant will plant churches. That's that culture, that DNA is in the churches around Richmond, and we're grateful for that. And our movement at large has that same kind of DNA. We believe in planting churches. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to kind of be here as you launch this 14 days. I know you had time in January and this time now, and God is calling you to tithe your time for prayer in this church. What an awesome way to think about praying together. My teaching this morning is not going to be about grandiose kinds of prayer. I want to kind of set the tone for what I want to say this morning. There's a power in prayer. There are things that, I mean, we hear inspiring stories about prayer. God uses us in marvelous ways. I want to kind of begin at the beginning this morning about prayer. And I hope by the time we are at the end of the message, I sort of have one goal. And you'll hear that at the end about teaching on prayer this morning. There'll be other teachings on prayer. You can't cover everything in one session. But if you can walk away this morning with a sense of saying, I can take this with me and I can practice this, then I will have accomplished my goal. I have a lot of sermons. I've been preaching for a long time. I've been preaching for over 50 years. So I could go back and just kind of pull out a sermon. But as I thought about this day and after having this invitation, I said, Lord, would you give me a message? You've not come this morning to hear a sermon. You've come to hear a message. And what you're saying is, do you have a word from the Lord for us? Do you have something to say? And I believe God's put something in my heart that is for us here today that will make a difference as we go on our way. I want to just say another word. I'll have to do this at the end. It's been 3 or 4 years ago. I wrote this book called Four Faces of a Leader, and it's done very well in the helping pastors and church leaders, and it was translated into Spanish about a year ago, maybe a little longer than that, and they have been taking this book to Cuba, the Spanish version, and it's just kind of taken off down there, and I'm going to Cuba next month in September for a week to speak to pastors there. I would welcome your prayers, but I brought some of these along today. I just sort of take you, most of you have read this, but there's some on the table if you'd like to pick up one. There's also a couple of Spanish copies there, and if you'd like to pick one up today, you're welcome to do that. I'm thinking this morning about how we come at prayer in a church that certainly practices prayer. So here we go. Let's jump right in. I've titled the message this morning, Creating and Experiencing a Culture of Prayer. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 is our launching pad. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. The greatest power we have is in modeling. Jesus was modeling what it meant to pray. And so his disciples were saying, Lord, teach us how to do that. Now what Jesus teaches them in that moment, the scripture does not record everything that's said or done, but Jesus tells them what to say. But I think there's some other things that come out of that as well. Here's what he says. Here's what you're to say. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then some translations say, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what I learned to say, what was really the disciples' prayer. So as you think about prayer today, maybe you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a what someone called a killer app, you know, to sort of drive you towards how you pray. Well, we have everything we need right here, don't we? This really teaches us everything we need about prayer. As we're talking about a culture, creating and experiencing a culture of prayer. That word culture, oh, it means different things to different people. You know, that person, they're sort of highly cultured, and that's not the way I'm using that this morning. Culture is the way of life, the general customs and beliefs of a particular group. So it's your way of life. We can move on to the next slide here. There we go. Culture. Culture is the way of life, the general customs and beliefs of a particular group. It's pretty simple when you think about it. It's what we do. Repetition is the first law of learning. So as you're repeating these sermons that you've heard and you're thinking about, hey, how can we pray together? It's about repeating something. It becomes our culture, a culture of prayer. And then I want to just define prayer in a very simple way. Prayer is being with God. Prayer is being with God. There are certainly various ways to pray. There are styles. But when I pray, I am with God. I'm just being with Him. I'm with Him in a lot of other ways, and He's always with me. But I want you to think of prayer that way. Prayer is just being with God, so we can be with Him all the time. We could also have specific times, which is one of the first things I want to talk about this morning. So Jesus taught them what to say, and we're going to come back to that. I'm not going to teach on the Lord's Prayer this morning. I am going to reference it. But I want to just talk about some things that you and I can do for prayer. Number one, set a time. Set a time when you're going to pray. Acts chapter 3 says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They had a regular time of prayer. Have you ever said to someone, hey, let's get together sometime. Let's get together. You're not generally setting a time, but and it doesn't happen, right? I mean, maybe it will occasionally, but I've had people say, hey, let's get together. Never happens. But if I say to you, can I see you next Tuesday at 3 o'clock? We put it on the calendar. We've set a time. Can I see you next Monday evening at 7 o'clock? When I set a time, I'm really being serious and definitive about wanting to see you. It's that way with God. When I say to God, hey, God, we'll get together sometime. He said, I'd love that. But when you say, God, I'm going to meet with you at a particular time. I know you're with me all the time. I'm going to meet with you. My time is early in the morning. I haven't always been an early morning riser, but the last 20, 25 years, I've been an early morning riser. And I get up early in the morning, and that's when I meet with the Lord. I read through the Bible every year, and I have this little hearing set that I put on. I see the Bible, and I hear it, and after I've read some scripture for the day, then I have this time where I'm just with the Lord. Setting a time is important. You have set a time here in this church, 14 days, where I'm serving now and working with our son Rob at Celebration Church. We started the year with 21 days of fasting and prayer, from 6 in the morning all the way through for 21 days. We did it again in May. We've got another 3 days. We had 3 days set in October. We did 3 days in May, and we're going to do 3 days in October. We did 21 days at the beginning of the year. It was the first week of May, and we were doing from Wednesday morning, 6 a.m., to Saturday morning, 6 a.m. So 24 hours for 3 days. And one of those days in there was Thursday, which was the National Day of Prayer. And the time at night from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. on Midlothian Turnpike is not a time that you probably want to be out just wandering around. You about the area that we're in anyway. It's been labeled the drug area of Richmond. It's all those hotels there have prostitutes in them. And so we were concerned about the 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. time of prayer. And because we were going to do it in the building, we had a room designated. So we decided that our leaders would take that time. So I picked one of the days, and I said, I'll take Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. I'll come and stay at the church. We have a room there with a little chair and a little sofa. You can lie down, take a little nap if you want to, praying all night, and you read scripture and sing. And so I'm in there from 9 p.m., and the deal is they're supposed to turn off all the alarm systems and cameras so that you don't set something off when you leave the room at night. That worked fine in January, so I came back in May, and I'm doing this 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., a night of prayer. It's about 12:20 or so in the morning, and I get out of the room, and this is in May, and I'm starting to walk down the hall, and all these alarms go off. I mean, everything, and I thought, oh, my. There can be distractions when you set a time, you know. This was a huge distraction, and I thought, what am I going to do? Well, here I am. It's almost, you know, it's midnight and after, and I'm on Midlothian Turnpike. I'm in this big building by myself, and I'm thinking, who's in the building with me because the alarms are off? And I thought, so I start calling people. Tried to call security, and nobody answered. I tried to call the chairman of the board and didn't get any answer. And I finally said, I guess the police will be here in a moment. And sure enough, they come right off a Midlothian Turnpike, wheeling in there, and I'm standing at the front door doing this. I want to make sure that they don't think, you know, somebody's in the building that's not supposed to be there. And I'm just one. So they wheel up, and policeman gets out of the car, and he walks up the door, and he says, Pastor Roden, what are you doing in here? I said, oh, thank you, Lord. He was a policeman on the Richmond Police Force from West End. And they came to the gate. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. You've helped me out of a real problem here. They finally called the company that had the alarm, and we got everything worked out and stayed there the rest of the night. But I want to tell you, when you set a time, you may have a distraction. You may get a distraction. And I was tempted not to stay there all night after that, but one of the guys came and said, hey, I'll stay in the building with you. I stayed the rest of the night, set a time. I can tell you some other things about that night, about what the Lord did. He gave me a message that I preached. I read Habakkuk three times that night, the book of Habakkuk, three times, where the Lord says he will, you know, Habakkuk's crying out to God, and the Lord spoke to me through that. But if you set a time is very important. Select a place. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Selecting a place is so critical that we have a place of prayer. Jesus had a place of prayer. You need a spot. If you say, well, to God, I'll meet you somewhere, God. Somewhere may never come. But say, Lord, I'm going to meet you at this time. I'm going to meet you at this place. For me, my place is a green chair in our living room. That's where I go every morning about 5 or 5:30. Read the scripture and then put it down, and I just commune with the Lord. Sometimes I'll walk around or whatever there, but I just say, Lord, I'm here, and I sit in that green chair. Lift my hands to the Lord, but that's my place. That's my place. I'd suggest to you find a place where you meet with the Lord. It's a good thing to find a place where that you can say, I meet with the Lord. The last time I was in Israel, which is just a few months ago, they took us at the bottom of the Mount of Beatitudes. They have found a cave, and they believe this cave is probably the place where it says that Jesus would get away. He would get away to a solitary place and pray. They believe this cave is the place that Jesus used. If Jesus had a time, it says that it was early in the morning one time, it says in Mark. Excuse me. Another time he prays all night, and he had a place. He had a place that he could go to. If Jesus gives us that example about praying, set a time, select a place. Number three, involve your physical body in praying. This might seem strange, but let's unpack it. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Some people say, well, I just don't pray out loud. I just pray in my mind. And there's certainly a place for that, to have contemplation and reflection and meditation. But Jesus, it said he cried out to God. He used his physical body. Famous author said, sometimes our discontent in life comes simply because we listen to ourselves rather than talk to ourselves. If you roll something over in your mind long enough, you'll begin to believe it. It may not be true. It's good to talk to yourself out loud. Quote the scripture. Say some things about what God can do for you. So we involve our physical body in prayer. In the Gospels, in Mark, it says, when you stand praying, sometimes you stand. It says he fell to the ground in praying. Mark chapter 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 says, lifting up holy hands. Involve your physical body in prayer. It's a way that you can be engaged. Sometimes when I pray, I walk. As a matter of fact, I was telling the first service, the church that we founded, West End, I have a key to the church, being the founding pastor. They said, hey, you may want to come here and pray sometimes. In case I'll go there at night, take that key, walk in, and I just walk back and forth across the front of that church. Say, oh, God, would you bless this place? Would you keep your favor on this church? Would you use this church? So sometimes you may want to walk when you pray. You may want to take a walk in the woods. Whatever you want to do, but involve your physical body in prayer. You might want to stretch out before God. I've gotten on the carpet before, just stretched out myself and said, God, I want to humble myself before you. Sometimes you cry out to God as you are saying, oh God, I want to involve my physical body in prayer. So one of the questions that comes up, well, if I'm doing that, what do I say? What do I do? You can that Lord's Prayer, you can say that several times over. Jesus said, don't do babblings and repeating yourself, and he's not talking about that. He's talking about meaningless sayings. But it's proper to quote the Lord's Prayer. Say, God, I'm going to say this. It's really the disciples' prayer, but I'm praying it tonight. Take some of the Psalms. I read Psalm 121 to God a lot of times. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, but whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Give the Psalms to God. Or you can do Psalm 23 or Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Pray the Psalms to God. It is important that we set a time, we select a place, we involve our physical body. Number four, connect with others. Connect with others. It's right to pray alone, but it's also right to pray with other people. The scripture says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. We're to connect with other people when we pray. Pastor Sean and I were just at the General Council in Anaheim. Several times there, we gathered in groups. We prayed together. It's important that you connect with other people. As we prayed earlier, there's been just such evil in Charlottesville this last couple of days. I have a good friend who pastors here. His name is Pete Hardwick. I called Pete this morning about, it was probably 7:30 or so on my way over here. I said, Pete, I was just thinking about you and wanted to pray for you this morning as you're preaching. And I thought about how in the book of Acts, when there was social unrest in chapter 4, when they were preaching on the street, they were going to arrest them, and they chose not to at that point. And in Acts chapter 12, where Peter's thrown in prison, the way the church responded is they gathered together and prayed. And they said, I want to just pray for you today and pray that your church will find ways to to pray. And he said, Bob, you won't believe this. He said, I'm getting chills right now as you're just with this call. He said, yesterday at 3 o'clock, yesterday afternoon, Saturday at 3 o'clock, he said, 12 churches in Charlottesville gathered together at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to begin to pray for what was going on. He said, we told all of our people, don't go downtown. Let's gather together and pray. And Pastor Pete Hardwick, along with the pastor of Mount Zion Rising Baptist Church, I believe was the name of it, which is Pete being a white pastor, here's an African-American pastor, these two guys led the charge. They led the charge, and they gathered other people, and these 12 churches gathered together. We need one another in prayer. We need to connect with each other. And that's so important that we do that. We connect in prayer and say, God, thank you for what you're doing. And finally, we are to expect a response. We are to expect a response. In Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. The exchange rate is always in our favor when we give stuff to God, because He always gives us back something better. You've been to a foreign country and you exchange money, not always in our favor. But with God, the exchange rate is always in our favor. Whatever we give Him our anxieties. And He gives us something better, the peace of God. Now, I understand Mark chapter 11, where it talks about faith that you can move mountains. I get those powerful prayers that, and there have been some mountains that have been moved, that are powerful testimonies. But there's also the sense of me bringing my need to God and Him giving me peace in my heart. That's the first thing He gives when we come to Him. Joan and I were at having a bite to eat last night with one of our granddaughters. She's a twin. And we were reflecting on the time when she doesn't remember, obviously, when she was born, but we were just talking about that season. Because when our daughter Cindy was pregnant with these twins in 1999, it was in the month of September. And she was not to give birth to these twins until February. So it's not quite enough they were not developed enough to be born. And she went to the doctor and the babies had started to drop down into the birth canal. It was just jolting news. As a matter of fact, the doctor offered some suggestions that we were not happy with. Cindy came home and she said, I don't know what to do. And she was praying and she would just, it's not good news. She had a son that was 3 years old. He was 3 and a half or so. And her little 3-year-old son looked at her, and I don't know if he even knew all that he was saying, but he said to his mom, God will give you peace. Isn't that amazing? From a 3-year-old. And Cindy took that word. She was in the hospital for almost a month. She had to be flat on her back, and they nursed her along until December the 31st at 2 o'clock. Actually, it was December the 30th at 2 o'clock in the morning. So these girls were born on December the 31st. I remember Joan and I were in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Alan calls and says, "Hey, the girls are here," and they were both healthy. And God had given Cindy peace, and He also gave us a wonderful miracle of these two girls. These two girls are going to be rising seniors this coming year, and they both love the Lord, serving God with all their heart. So we were just talking about that last night, how that God had brought them here, it had been a miracle, and God had given her mom peace. And then we also were just sitting there, and our granddaughter was saying, I'm with my dad this weekend. That was a stinging reminder to us But about 3 years ago, one morning at, well, it was probably 6:15 or so, the phone rang. And our daughter called and said, "Hey, I need to come see you, Dad. I know you're awake, but go ahead and wake up Mom, and I need to come and talk to you." When your daughter calls at 6:15 in the morning and says, "I need to come see you, wake up Mom," it's not good news. You know that. So she came in the door, she looked just terrible. And I mean, you could tell she was in such anguish. I took her in my arms, and Joan was up, and she sat between the two of us on the couch and told us, she said, "You know, we've been married almost 19 years. And said, my husband came home a couple nights ago and started telling me about life decisions he had made that had not been good. And he said it had been a lifestyle that he had developed. And she said, I don't know if we're going to be together. I just don't know. Here we have these three children." We prayed with our daughter, and I remember we said, "Hey, God can give you the same peace that he gave you when you were pregnant with the twins." It was pretty raw at that time, but as the months went by, the peace of God began to come to her. Didn't end real well. A couple of years after that, she and her husband got a divorce. It's not the way we would have planned it. The divorce is not the unforgivable sin, but it's very painful, isn't it? Some of you know how painful that can be. It's a tough time for a family. There was Cindy with these three children, but she had peace. She had the peace of God. Though she didn't get the answer she wanted, she had the peace of God. During that time, we stayed pretty close to these three children, and I can tell you that her son is... our grandson, he's a rising senior in college. He serves the Lord. He's going to graduate. His minor is in youth ministry. His major's in sociology. He's going to go to seminary. Both these girls that were miracle babies are serving God, and they've made it through this time. That somehow God gave our daughter the peace of God in the midst of a very, very difficult place. We never really thought our family would have to face divorce. It's the last thing on our list. But God gave her peace, and he's given us peace. I want to say to you this morning, if you're here, you say, "God, I give you whatever's in my life. Whatever it is, you give it to him. And the first thing he will give you is peace." He'll give you his peace. And there are times whenever a miracle will follow. There are times when it may not turn out the way you want it to, but you'll have the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that nothing can replace. If you're here today and you need God's peace, you're in the right place. Every Wednesday morning I teach the disciples at Celebration Church. These are people that have come off the street. Drug addiction, alcoholism, prostitution, I mean all kinds of things. And I always say to them, "Hey, you know, John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that you might have life and have it more abundantly." This is plan B over here. There's somebody who's stealing, killing, and destroying your life. That's plan B. And that's the plan you've been on. But plan A is that Jesus wants to give you life. Which plan do you want? And every Wednesday morning, there are people that start taking plan A. They say, "I've had plan B. I want plan A for my life." And they confess Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never taken plan A, it'd be a great day for you to do it, because that's when the peace of God comes to you. Say, "I want plan A. I've had plan B. I want plan A for my life." Or maybe you took plan A some time ago and you've just kind of been distracted and you've neglected it. This will be a great day for you to say, "Lord, I need to reaffirm plan A in my life, what you want to do." I've come with this message this morning to simply say to you, prayer is a powerful tool. And as you set a time and a place and you connect with others and you use your physical body, you can expect a response from God. And it will be his peace And then sometimes there will flow out of that miracles that are absolutely incredible. I could tell you many stories this morning, like about our granddaughters. But I could also tell you people that have walked through some tough places, but they had the peace of God, even though the results were not what they had would chosen for themselves, but they left it in God's hands. When we pray, the peace of God comes like a river inside of us. And that's what God wants to do for us here this day at Cornerstone. He wants every person here to walk out of here with His peace, no matter what you're facing. That's the kind of God we serve. Would you pray with me, please? Just bow your heads. Lord, I've delivered the message I believe you put on my heart for this day. I want to thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that you work in us in accordance with your will, O God. If you're here this morning and you need to choose plan A, you've been walking in plan B. But today you say, I know that Jesus came to give me life. And boy, something resonates in my heart just now that I really need to choose him. Right where you're seated, would you just say, Lord Jesus, I put my life in your hands now. Forgive me of my sins. And I put my life in your hands right at this moment. Or if you need to just cultivate that plan again, you said, Lord, I've neglected some things. I renew that today. Or if you're a person here today and you have a circumstance of you've got a medical issue or a family issue or maybe a professional or a job issue or a financial issue or a plethora of other things that you can say, it's God, I'm filled with anxiety and I need your peace. Give it to him right now. And the peace of God can come to you. If you're doing any one of those three things, if you're either putting your life in God's hands, renewing, or right now you're needing the peace of God for a situation while our heads are bowed, would you just lift your head and make eye contact with me? Yeah, I see you over here. Back here, yeah, I see you. And here, over here, yeah, number of you. And whatever you are saying with that upraised eyebrow today, may the peace of God come to you, either for salvation or for whatever circumstance you're in. Oh God, thank you now for what you're bringing to us this day. And we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to say thanks again for letting me be with you today. Pastor Sean is going to come and he'll give you some instructions about if you accepted the Lord today, where you can, what you need to do. I'll talk to you a bit about ways you can apply the message. I love the way he wraps this up in the first service. He just brought this to a close in a beautiful way. Thank you for letting me be with you today. I'd ask for your prayers as I go to Cuba next month, especially for Joan, my wife of 51 years. All right, okay. Amen.
God's so good. Here we go. Sometimes we think we're the ones who figure out when significant time happens. Like, we set a date. Let me tell you what, God has set a date of these 2 weeks for you. You didn't know they were coming. God knew they were coming. And these 2 weeks are about doing exactly what Dr. Roden has said. It's time to pick a time. And so I want you to think about that right now. What am I going to do? What it might cost me something. I'm going to give some time to God I've never given before. I'm going to find a place. Here's what I want you to do. If you would like to make the church a place you come during the week to pray, maybe you want to before work get here and pray, what I want you to do is I want you to take your green connection card. I want you to put your name, the time you'd like to be in here, and put your cell phone number on it. And what we'll do is by Tuesday morning, so we'll work it out on a Monday, But starting Tuesday, if you want to get in here at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, if you want to get here at 8 a.m. in the morning, if you want to be here at 2 p.m. in the morning, say, this is my place for the next 2 weeks. I want to come make that. Doesn't have to be. But if you want this to be the place, we're going to make that possible the next 2 weeks. I want to encourage you to find that time. Do something new and let God speak to you in a new way. I want to encourage you, involve your physical body, sometimes just kneeling down, saying, God, I just want to remember I'm trusting you. In a moment, we're going to do that. This is a time to believe God to do what he's never done. I want to encourage you over the next 2 weeks, maybe at least once during the next 14 days, maybe your life group, maybe a couple in the church, would you let God speak to you about one other couple or somebody else to join in prayer at least once in the next 2 weeks? Maybe it's before service. You're going to come say, hey, can we come a little early to pray? But God is all about us taking steps of faith. And there are a lot of times we're sitting there kind of waiting and God's saying, hey, would you step? And as you step, I'm going to move in your life in a new way. So I want to encourage you, this is a time set apart from the Lord. Some of us in this room, we don't know what to pray. I think Dr. Roden gave us a perfect example. Man, just get a psalm. Take the psalm of that day. Tomorrow's August 14th. Turn to Psalm 14 and say it out loud to God. Just read it out loud. Then the second time, say, I'm going to read it again, but now, God, I'm going to change some of the words because I'm going to talk about me. Do that. That's how you could talk to God. And then just see what he says. As you just kind of wait for the Lord. But I want to encourage you, now is the time. Now, there are a few special things we're doing this week that I want you to be aware of. First of all, if you look under the top five things to know, el poder de la oración. Something close, right? Power of prayer, right? That's what we're going to do. This Wednesday, I'm very excited about our church and what's going to happen in this area. We're doing our first all-Spanish worship and prayer service this Wednesday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So whether you know it or not, you're welcome to come. You're welcome to come and just be part of it. It's going to be right here. And one of the things that was said both at our national convention and something the Lord put in my heart about 2-3 months ago was how through our Latino brothers and sisters, a special healing for our communities is going to happen. And we were at the convention, and there was a whole fresh word about that. So I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do there. I heard one pastor say, as we have strife between the black and the white, what we need is a little bit of brown to get in the middle of them. I was like, okay, I hadn't thought of that. All right. And they were just saying there's really been some prophetic words about how the Lord's going to use our Latino brothers and sisters to actually do a work of revival and reconciliation in our nation. So I'm super excited about it. I cannot wait. That's going to be this Wednesday. You could just come and say, Lord, I just want to be before you while my brothers and sisters worship and declare the word of God. You're welcome to do that. We're also on that time, and I couldn't avoid the conflict just because of the days, but I'm starting this Wednesday night, 3 weeks on an introduction to the Holy Spirit. So I don't know what you've been taught or not taught about the Holy Spirit, but if you always keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length away, you're never going to receive the fullness of what he has. The reason you're doing this is because you got some questions. If you got some questions, come this Wednesday, all right? We're going to walk you through over 3 weeks the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's going to be amazing. So I want to encourage you in those two times. But most of all, I want us to do it right now. Let's start. Can we start right now, the week of prayer, right now? Can we take 5 minutes? Can you give me five? Like a really good five, like a super energetic five. Can you give me five right now? All right, what we're going to do, yeah. We're going to take the next 5 minutes. We're going to make say, yeah, and you can stand. You should totally stay standing. That's why, now you don't have to. You just, when you're ready, you can stand. All right, here's what we're going to do. For the next 5 minutes, let's start. Let's just say, God, I want to meet with you. God, I didn't realize what you're about to do these 2 weeks, but I'm starting to hear about it. I'm starting to get hungry. I'm starting to have a sense of anticipation that you want to do something you've never done before. Lord, do it in me. Do it through me. I'm going to ask the guys if they could put up the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Okay, as we begin to do this, maybe we just need to pray for God's kingdom to come where the kingdom of chaos has been in our life, where the kingdom of confusion, where the kingdom of comparison has been reigning over us. Let's say, God, today I'm asking right now that the kingdom of God come, take over that place. And we just invite him in. We just invite him in. I want to encourage you, as we do this, would you start practicing what Dr. Roden said, involve your physical body. Some of you, you may want to come to the altar and kneel. Some of you may want to stand. You're welcome to come and kind of walk around as long as you're just thoughtful for the people around you, okay? Some of you, at some point in these next 5 minutes, please say something out loud. Don't just listen to what's going on in your head anymore. Agree. Just say, you know what, God, I agree with that. God, I want that. God, I need that. God, you are that. Can someone say amen to that? All right, let's in these next 5 minutes, let's begin right now. All right, so you're free to stand, you're free to kneel, you're free to come forward, you're free to grab someone, the hand of someone who came with you, and you say, we need to pray together about this. We're going to do it right now. I'm going to lead us out loud, but you do whatever the Lord calls you to do. We're going to do it right now. Let's do it. Lord, Father, we're hungry for you right now. Come on, everybody in this room, we're hungry for you. Oh, we want more of you, more than we've ever had of you, oh God. Lord, we're asking that you would come. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us those places where we and ourselves, dear God, we've been so caught up in things that we thought were great, and you're greater. And we declare right now in the name of Jesus, you are the great one. You are the mighty one. There is none like you. We say yes and amen to you today, dear God. Can someone join me in that? Yes and amen to you today, dear God. Yes, you're the true one. You're the good one. You're the one I need, dear God. Lord, you know my story. You know where we've been. And we just say today, dear God, let the grace and the mercy and the power of Jesus come into our life like never before. But Lord, we stand, dear God. We lift up our hand, dear God. Lord, we declare with our voice, no longer will the enemy have victory over our lives. No longer will I live with a lack of peace. But yet, even if something comes against me and it calls itself great, I'm going to declare today that you are greater. You are greater. You are victory. You are life. And we pray right now. Come on, join me in prayer. We pray for peace, oh God. Peace that only comes from you. God, our days are in your hand. And Lord, when you say yes, we say yes, dear God. When you say, Lord, move forward, we move forward. And when you say wait, we wait, dear God, because you are the one who is able. And Lord, we declare now that, Lord, the greater work of the Holy Spirit is about to come like never before. Lord, some of us, we're walking through a very long, difficult mile right now, but the peace of God is about to come and lift us up like never before. Lord, we say yes to it. And Father, whether we are young or old, Lord, whether we're about to begin school or we're going back to work, whether we're watching over our home, dear God, or we're watching over loved ones, we say today is the day of salvation. And Lord, you are with us, and there's none like you. And God, we want to do a new thing in calling out to you, because Lord, we want you to do a new thing. We want to see a new thing done. Lord, we don't think it's in our own effort. Not any of that. Lord, we're humble. We know ourselves, but we know we need you. We know we need you. We know we need you. Would you take a moment now, church, and lift up your voice declaring your need and your dependence on God? Would you do it? If you've never done it before, would you do it now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we say yes, oh God. Come on, church. Come on, church. We want to, yes, Lord. We need you. We want the enemy to hear it because he is weakened every time we pray. He is weakened every time we praise. Lord, we thank you that you are able. And Lord, we're not just going to sit as a spectator in life anymore, but we're going to say yes to you. Lord, we're going to trust you. Lord, we're going to trust you even though we're hurting, dear God. You're our healer and we've got to reach out to you today, dear God. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Would you begin to call out and you just do it quietly or however you want to do it, but just, Lord, this is what I'm believing you for right now. These next 14 days, dear God, show me like you've never shown me. Let me know it's not me. Let me see it's you, oh God. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. Come on, church. Let's just press in just another minute or two. Make it your own prayer right now. God, I'm in this prayer. God, I'm the one calling out to you. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. 14 days, dear God. Show us like never before. We say yes. Some of you, even as you're praying, you're starting to get discouraged. No, no, no. Lift your eyes up to the Lord right now. Don't lift that. Look at the problem. Look at Him. He's bigger. He's greater. There's nothing too difficult for Him. He is able. He hears the cry of the humble. He answers the prayer of the one who is upright. Lord, we just confess, Lord, our need for You. We thank You for forgiveness right now. We declare the words of God over our lives and over our family, dear God. There is none, nothing too difficult for You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Yes, Lord, a house of prayer, a house of prayer. We're going to give You all the praise, all the glory. Thank You, Lord. We expect Your response, oh God. We expect a response from You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Lord, I pray even someone watching online right now across the miles. Lord, in the name of Jesus, there's a woman. I just sense a woman who's in tears over a family situation. Lord, You're speaking to her right now. You're calling her to trust again in You in the name of Jesus. I thank You for that. There's a family with a wayward child. Lord, I just thank You right now that You're saying they're not away from Me. They're not away from Me. They're not away from Me. I know where they are. I know what they need. I've got a plan. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Lord, there's someone that, Lord, right now as they're reaching out to You, literally, physically, You are touching their body right now as the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, heals them right now. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Father, we're trusting You for a relationship like never before. But we're going to do it like we've never done it before. You're saying away with the old. I want to do it a new way. Trust in Me. Focus on Me. Every day I'm going to show You and guide You how to have that relationship. I'm about to do a new thing in Your midst. Thank You, Father. And Lord, I believe there's some students right now that You want to speak to about this year in school, middle school, high school, dear God. Lord, You're speaking to them about who they are. You don't want them to forget who they are. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You're going to use them. Give them eyes to see. Would You take one more moment? Lord, guard these 14 days. Guard these 14 days. We want to do what we've never done before. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If there's any last expression of lifting a hands, of standing before the Lord, of kneeling, would You take that moment so that You could say, Lord, I've just, as much as I've seen, I've just given everything I've known to give You today. I've involved all that You wanted me involved. I want to worship You with my soul, with my spirit, with my body, with my voice. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're speaking. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your holy name. Praise Your holy name. Jesus. Jesus. Some things are melting away right now. Christ is coming closer. He knows where You're at. Lord, heal our community, oh God. Lord, we cry out for our community right now. Lord, we cry out. We don't have. Lord, begin in us. Lord, put into place the things we're striving about. You'd say, look, You're supposed to be an ambassador of reconciliation world. I'm calling You there. Trust Me in the reconciliation in Your own life right now. Because I want to overflow from You. We say yes. Thank You, Lord. Yes, oh God. We bless You, God. Thank You, Father. It's beginning. Thank You, it's beginning, oh God. It's beginning, oh God. Thank You, Father. There's something, even a couple here, you're praying together, and there's one of you that the Lord's beginning to say, put something on your heart that you've you've really never shared. It's kind of an encouragement. It's kind of a hope. It's kind of a hunger for God. The Lord wants you to share that with your loved one today. Say, hey, God's just kind of calling me. And I think God's asking me to do this. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Yes, Lord. Jesus. New beginnings. Lord, whatever you want us, however you want us to step, we want to be obedient. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray in our homes the fire of God comes down. It just melts away sin, but it warms hearts. It melts walls. We welcome the presence, the fire of God in our homes. Lord, we're asking you make us a church that loves to be in your presence. Lord, bring revival to us. Bring a new move of your spirit to us. And Lord, we pray for Motivation Church. We just thank you so much. Fallen Creek Middle School is going to become a sign and a wonder to Chesterfield and to Richmond. Of the kingdom of God doing what's never been done before. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Would you just stand? Would you finish standing, grabbing hands with your brothers and sisters on either side? We just thank you for what you've begun, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Feel free, as you can, just grab a hand of the brother and sister next to you. With all of us together in the power of the Holy Spirit, would we say the Lord's Prayer? If you're not sure about it, it's on the screen. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord watch over you, bless you as you go. Feel free to fill out those connection cards with any decisions you've made today. Or any needs for prayer, and look forward to praying with you these 14 days. God bless you.